Mr. Chairman and friends. Last week we began our lecture by permitting ourselves for a few moments a backward glance over the rather mountainous terrain of the Bodhisattva ideal, that is to say the terrain which or through which we had, and in fact have, been travelling in the course of these last few weeks, in fact these last 2 months. And as we looked back over the distance that we had traversed during this time, that we saw that in this, as it were, mountainous terrain, one peak stood out. One peak seemed to dominate the rest. And this was the mountain peak of the bodhicitta, the will to universal enlightenment. And in retrospect, we saw that all other aspects of the bodhisattva ideal, all those other aspects, some of which we had touched upon and even explored, seemed, in retrospect, to group themselves around this particular one, this particular peak, just like so many lesser mountain peaks clustering, as it were, around one great peak that towers above them all and dominates the landscape. We saw right at the beginning that the Bodhisattva was the ideal Buddhist, one who lives for the sake of enlightenment, for the sake of the enlightenment of all sentient beings. But we saw almost from the very beginning that the Bodhisattva becomes a Bodhisattva only by virtue of the arising, by virtue of the manifestation within him of what we call the bodhicitta. And this bodhicitta, we saw again, was not just a thought, not just an idea or a concept in somebody's mind. That we saw, and again we were reminded that this bodhicitta is something transcendental, something universal, something which informs and pervades and flows through, in a sense, the whole cosmos. And we further saw, both at the time and in retrospect, that this bodhicitta, this universal will to enlightenment, or this will to cosmic enlightenment, has 2 great aspects. That it has a vow aspect and an establishment aspect. The first consisting of the formulation of certain vows, the import of which is universal, embracing all sentient beings. We saw, you may remember, that the 4 great vows are a prominent example of this kind of thing. We saw also that the vow, singular or plural, represents the expression of the one, the universal bodhicitta, in terms of the life and work of the individual bodhisattva. Now the other aspect, the establishment aspect we saw, consisted in the practice of the 6 paramitas. And these 6 paramitas we saw in some detail over some 3 weeks were made up of 3 pairs. First of all, giving and uprightness, dana and sila, representing the altruistic and the individualistic aspects of the spiritual life. Then patience and vigor, representing, as we saw, the masculine and the feminine, single inverted commas, approaches to the spiritual life. And finally, meditation and wisdom, which we described as the internal and external dimensions, as it were, of the one supremely enlightened mind. And all these pairs of opposites, whether giving and uprightness, whether patience and vigor or meditation and wisdom, all these pairs of opposites on their respective levels, in their respective contexts, the bodhisattva synthesizes, balances, integrates harmoniously in his own life and work and character and endeavor and achievement. In his life we saw, and this again was insisted upon more than once, in his life there is no one-sidedness, no going to extremes. Now last week, we found ourselves still concerned with this bodhicitta, still trying to get a glimpse, as it were, of this great, this lofty mountain peak dominating the entire landscape from a slightly different point of view, in a slightly different perspective. Last week we tried to go into the question of the bodhicitta not so much abstractly as concretely, because last week, you may remember, we were concerned with the bodhisattva hierarchy, in other words, those individuals in whom the bodhicitta progressively manifests itself. And we first of all try to understand the general principle of spiritual hierarchy itself. We saw that it represented, the spiritual hierarchy represented, the thin veil, as it were, between ourselves and reality. And at the same time, we try to understand the principle of universal brotherhood, try to understand the importance of having contact with what Buddhist tradition calls the spiritual friends. And having done this, we turned our attention to the four kinds of bodhisattva, who between them make up the bodhisattva hierarchy. We saw that in the first place there are novice bodhisattvas, those who genuinely accept the bodhisattva ideal and who try to practice it, but in whom the bodhicitta, as a spiritual experience, as a transcendental experience, has not yet arisen. And then secondly, we saw that there were bodhisattvas of the path, those in whom the bodhicitta had in fact arisen, and who had attained any one of the first six out of the 10 bhumis, or stages of progress, of the bodhisattva path. And then we saw that in the third place there were the irreversible bodhisattvas, those who are incapable of falling back into spiritual individualism and aiming at emancipation, nirvana, just for themselves alone. These irreversible bodhisattvas we saw become such by the realization of great emptiness, the third of the four kinds of emptiness, great emptiness in which all distinction as between samsara and nirvana, conditioned and unconditioned, all these distinctions are swallowed up and obliterated, so that in that realization of the great emptiness, the bodhisattva finds, the bodhisattva discovers, or the bodhisattva sees no separate nirvana, no unconditioned separate from the conditioned to which he can escape for his own sake. And in this way, he becomes irreversible in the eighth bhumi. And then we saw that there are bodhisattvas of the Dharmakaya, who are Buddhas, in fact, in bodhisattva form, some of them being human and historical, and others purely archetypal. But all of them representing different aspects of enlightenment, different aspects of Buddhahood. We saw that Avalokiteshvara, for example, embodies the aspect of compassion, Manjushri the aspect of wisdom, and so on. And we closed last week with just a few words about the bodhisattva ordination.